reply to Vidura's question about the population of the universe, Maitreya Muni tells the pastime of Kardama Muni. And Kardama Muni prayed for many, many, many years, practicing yoga, performing austerity, and the Lord Narayan appeared directly before him, Shakshat Darshan. Kardama Muni offered prayers to the Lord, expressing his desire for a wife. And the Lord replied that he fulfills the desires of his devotees, even before that they ask him. And that he had made an arrangement, and that arrangement was for the wonderful daughter of Swayambhu Vimanu and Satyarupa to be brought by her father, Swayambhu Vimanu. Yeah, a little bit. 2 days, the day after tomorrow, as the Lord said, and he will come to offer Devahuti to you. In the Vedic times, when there was the time for marriage, it was very different from the Western culture. In the Western culture, the custom is, if I remember, it used to be this way anyway, that the one who wants to marry, the male who wants to marry, wants to wed the wife, he approaches the father of the bride, and he requests for the hand of his daughter in marriage. So in the Vedic culture is exactly the opposite. Rather than the husband having to beg for the father, for the wife, rather the father gives the daughter to the boy in charity. And that is more the mood. You please take her. So it's very, very different. The cultures are very, very different. So, after the Lord left, after describing this to what would happen to Kardama Muni, Kardama Muni stayed on the bank of the Bindu Sarova, which was the place where he was performed his austerities, awaiting the time of which the Lord had spoken. Swayambhu Vimanu with his wife mounted his chariot, which was decorated with golden ornaments. Placing his daughter on it, with them, he began traveling all over the earth. Over Dura, they reached, Maitreya Muni speaking, they reached the hermitage of the sage, who had just completed his vows of austerity on the very day foretold by the Lord. The holy lake Bindu Sarova, flooded by the waters of the river Saraswati, was resorted to by hosts of eminent sages. Its holy water was not only auspicious, but as sweet as nectar. It was called Bindu Sarov because drops of tears had fallen there from the eyes of the Lord, who was overwhelmed by extreme compassion for the sage who had sought his protection. Prabhupada's purport. Kardama Muni underwent austerities to gain the causeless mercy of the Lord. And when the Lord arrived there, he was so compassionate that in pleasure he, the Lord, shed tears, which became Bindu Sarov. Sarova means lake and Bindu means drop. Bindu Sarova, therefore, is worshipped by great sages and learned scholars because according to the philosophy of the Absolute Truth, the Lord and the tears from his eyes are none different, not different. Just as drops of perspiration which fell from the toe of the Lord became the sacred Ganges, so teardrops from the transcendental eyes of the Lord became Bindu Sarova. Both are transcendental entities and are worshipped by great sages and scholars. So Kardama Muni was waiting there. He had performed his austerities there. He was waiting there. And meanwhile, Swayambhu Vimanu was on the chariot with his wife and daughter, and gradually they arrived at that place. The shore of the lake was surrounded by clusters of pious trees and creepers, rich in fruits and flowers in all seasons, that afforded shelter to pious animals and birds, which uttered various cries. It was adorned by the beauty of groves of forest trees. Prabhupada explains in the purport that there are different classes in all societies. There are different classes in human beings. There are those who are pious. There are those who are less pious. Those who are impious. And amongst the birds, there are pious birds and impious birds. What's an example of an impious bird? Anyone know? The crow. Yes. How did you know? Caw. And a pious bird is like a swan, like that. And they have the places that the impious birds like, the crows like, are not the places that are frequented by swans. So similarly, there are trees that are pious, those that give fruits and very fragrant flowers, these are considered pious trees. And the other trees that are only meant for firewood and giving pine cones or whatever, that's their only fruit. That there will be that those are called impious, and towards the end of Kali Yuga there will be no more fruit trees, and there will only be these kind of pine trees that don't give fruit, practically like weeds, only useful for fuel, practically speaking, and that we see that more and more the natural forests are being diminished, and they plant in their place these pine trees. So that's all there's going to be as Kali Yuga progresses. The pious trees will leave. Prabhupada explains, trees that do not bear nice fruit or flowers are considered impious. So like the fig tree in the backyard here, that is a pious tree. And birds which are very nasty, such as crows, are considered impious. In the land surrounding Bindu Sarova, there was not a single impious bird or tree. Every tree bore fruits and flowers, and every bird sang the glories of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Even the birds, Prabhupada says, were chanting. So this was such a wonderful place. The area resounded with the notes of overjoyed birds. Intoxicated bees wandered there. Intoxicated peacocks proudly danced, and merry cuckoos called one another. Prabhupada said that merry peacocks danced just like actors and actresses, and merry cuckoos called their mates very nicely. Lake Bindu Sarova was adorned by flowering trees such as Kadamba Champaka Ashok. Ashok means, Shoka means lamentation. Ashok means no lamentation. So this is a, in Nepal did I do this? If you have some misery, you take some Ashok leaves and it removes your lamentation. Is that why it is called Ashok? Where was it? Sita Devi was under what kind of a tree? It was a Ashok tree? Yeah. So there were so many wonderful trees. Karanjan, Bakul, Asana tree, Kundid tree, Mandara, Kutaj, and young mango trees. The air was filled with pleasing notes of ducks, plovers. I don't know what a plover is. Prabhupada explains that there are these... There's no English equivalents for some of these birds and animals and trees. Swans, ospreys, waterfowl, cranes, chakravakas, and chakuras. So they made the atmosphere very, very wonderful. Its shores abounded with deer, boars, porcupines, gavias, elephants, baboons, lions, monkeys, mongooses, and musk deer. Entering that most sacred spot with his daughter and going near the sage, the first monarch, Swayambhuvamanu, saw the sage sitting in his hermitage, having just propitiated the sacred fire by pouring oblations into it. His body shone brilliantly. Though he had engaged in austere penances for a long time, he was not emaciated, for the Lord had cast his affectionate sidelock glance upon him, and he had also heard the nectar flowing from the moon-like words of the Lord. The sage was tall. His eyes were large, like the petals of a lotus, and he had matted locks on his head. He was clad in rags. Swayambhuva Manu approached him and saw him to be somewhat soiled, like an unpolished gem. Prabhupada explains. We'll be reading quite a few purports here. Here are some descriptions of a brahmachari yogi. In the morning, the first duty of a brahmachari seeking spiritual elevation is hutasan, to offer sacrificial oblations to the Supreme Lord. Those engaged in brahmacharya cannot sleep until 7 or 9 o'clock in the morning. They must rise early in the morning, at least 1.5 hours before the sun rises, and offer oblations. Or in this age, they must chant the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna. As referred to by Lord Chaitanya, kalo nasteva 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 gatini ata. There is no other alternative, no other alternative, no other alternative in this age to chanting the holy name of the Lord. The brahmachari must rise early in the morning, and after placing himself, should chant the holy names of the Lord. From the very features of the sage, it appeared that he had undergone great austerities. That is the sign of one observing brahmacharya, the vow of celibacy. If one lives otherwise, it will be manifest in the lust visible in his face and body. The word vidyottamanam indicates that the brahmachari feature showed in his body. That is the certificate that one has undergone great austerity in yoga. A drunkard or smoker or sex monger can never be eligible to practice yoga. Generally, yogis look very skinny because of their not being comfortably situated. But Kardama Muni was not emaciated, for he had seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Here the word Snigdha Pangava Lokanat means that he was fortunate enough to see the Supreme Lord face to face. He looked healthy because he had directly received the nectarian sound vibrations from the lotus lips of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, one who hears the transcendental sound vibration of the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, also improves in health. We have actually seen that many brahmacharis and grihasthas connected with the International Society for Krishna Consciousness have improved in health, and a luster has come to their faces. So, Swayambhuva Manu arrived at the hermitage of the sage, and seeing that the monarch had come to his hermitage and was bowing before him, the sage greeted him with benedictions and received him with due honor. After receiving the sage's attention, the king sat down and was silent. Recalling the instructions of the Lord, Kardama then spoke to the king as follows, delighting him with his sweet accents, with his sweet voice. Now, in this, the remainder of this chapter, or actually more for the next several verses, it's to the end of the chapter. Kardama Muni will speak about the relationship, about the Kshatriya's duty. And then in the beginning of the next chapter, Swayambhuva Manu replies, because Swayambhuva Manu is a Kshatriya and Kardama Muni is a Brahmana. So at the end of this chapter, Kardama Muni will glorify the Kshatriyas and speak of their duties and how important their function is. And then in the next chapter, in the beginning, Swayambhuva Manu, the Kshatriya, will glorify and explain the functions of a Brahmana. So in this way, the relationship between the Brahmana and the Kshatriyas were very, very, very respectful. The ruler and the advisor, the sages and the advisors. It wasn't that the Brahmanas thought themselves above the Kshatriyas or the Kshatriyas thought themselves above the Brahmanas in the Varnashrama culture. There was such a mutually respectful attitude In the same way that in our own body, the head is naturally respectful for the arms, because naturally the head knows how much it relies upon the arms, the hands. How would the food come? How would protection take place? And at the same time, the arms aren't proud of their strength. They have to serve the head's desires. So in this way, in the Vishwarupa, the universal form of the Lord, the head and the arms, the Vaishyas and the Kshatriyas, which symbolize the they are the most important elements of society. So something about the duties of this will be discussed towards the end of this chapter and the beginning of the next chapter. So again, sometimes in the Bhagavatam, it is called Paramhansa Samhita, that the duties of Kshatriyas and Brahmanas, we are told, even in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadamam Prityaja, this is what is told to be given up. Don't think yourself, Naham Vipro na Chanarapati na Pivaisho na Sudra. You're not a Brahman, you're not a Kshatriya, you're not a Vaishya, you're not a Sudra. You're an eternal soul, servant of Krishna. So in some parts of the Bhagavatam, these designations, which are based on our birth, based on our body, are decried. But in other parts, such as this, they are glorified. Because unless the society is organized properly, then people cannot be raised to the platform of spiritual life, of Paramhamsa, where the bodily designations and the bodily duties are insignificant. So on some levels, and we'll see this in the fourth canto too, especially during the pastime of Prithu Maharaj, the duties of the king, the duties of society will be spoken of, but in other places, they're rejected. Same thing as external. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected them as external because he was acting as a fully renounced sannyasi, having nothing to do with material society. But yet, in the Bhagavatam, because material society is necessary to give birth to spiritual life. So it is also explained and glorified. So these two different perspectives are often given. So here, the Brahmana will talk about, Kardama Muni will talk about and glorify the duties of the Kshatriya and explain their importance. So, very sweetly, Kardama began to speak. The tour that you have undertaken, because the Kshatriya Swayambhuvamana was traveling throughout the world, O Lord, is surely intended to protect the virtuous and kill the demons, since you embody the protecting energy of Sri Hari. And it's actually amazing. First of all, he's showing so much respect. He's calling him, O Lord. And he is in the superior position, the sage, but because he's the emperor, he's giving him so much respect and offering obeisances. And he's saying, you embody the potency of Krishna to protect the society, and that's what the king is supposed to do. And we see this, that wherever, when there's monarchy, especially if there's any good monarchy, the people are so much more happy because they have a leader they can trust, respect. Naturally, they see the king as their father. And he truly is one of the fathers, considered one of the fathers in Vedic culture. In Kali Yuga, because the kings have proved to be corrupt, they get rid of them and have presidents or whatever, or prime ministers. But the people don't have that same reverence. They don't have the same security. They don't, it's not the same. They change every 4 years. 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, like that. So the people, it is not the ideal political system. Because the king, they are always given so much respect because they are seen as the representative of the Lord. Prabhupada explains in the purport. It appears from many Vedic literatures, especially histories, the Itihas, like Srimad Bhagavatam and the Puranas, that the pious kings of old used to tour their kingdoms in order to give protection to the pious citizens and to chastise or kill the impious. So in the first canto, we saw Maharaj Prickett do this, and he confronted Kali while he was on tour. He didn't stay in his office and just push buttons. He went out to show his face, to show his face and his arms with the sword. Cut me into cut, to hurt. Sometimes they used to kill animals in the forest to practice the killing art, because without such practice, they would not be able to kill the undesirable elements. Kshatriyas are allowed to commit violence in that way because violence for a good purpose is a part of their duty. Here two terms are clearly mentioned. Vadhaya, for the purpose of killing, and asatam, those who are undesirable. The protecting energy of the king is supposed to be the energy of the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Pritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam. The Lord descends to give protection to the pious and to kill the demons. The potency, therefore, to give protection to the pious and kill the demons or undesirables is directly an energy from the Supreme Lord. And the king or the chief executive of the state is supposed to possess such energy. In this age, it is very difficult to find such a head of state who is expert in killing the undesirables. Modern heads of state sit very nicely in their palaces and try without reason to kill innocent persons. Strong criticism by Prabhupada. Kadama continues, glorifying Manu. You assume, when necessary, the parts of the sun god, the moon god, Agni, the god of fire, Indra, the lord of paradise, Vayu, the wind god, Yama, the god of punishment, Dharma, the god of piety, and Varuna, the god presiding over the ocean, over the waters. All obeisances to you, who are none other than Lord Vishnu. Purport. Since the sage Kardama was a Brahmana and Swayambhuva Manu was a Kshatriya, the sage was not supposed to offer obeisances to the king, because socially his position was greater than the king's. But he offered his obeisances to Swayambhuva Manu because, as Manu, king and emperor, he was the representative of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is always worshipable, regardless of whether one is a Brahmana, a Kshatriya, or a Sudra. As the representative of the Supreme Lord, the king deserved respectful obeisances from everyone. He continues, Kadama continues. If you did not mount your victorious jeweled chariot, whose mere presence threatens culprits, if you did not produce fierce sounds by the twanging of your bow, and if you did not roam about the world like the brilliant sun, leading a huge army whose trampling feet caused the globe of the earth to tremble, then all the moral laws governing the vanas and ashramas created by the Lord himself would be broken by the rogues and rascals. So this is the, practically speaking, one of the main functions of a king, to make sure that everyone is engaged in their duties, and they're properly in their duties, not acting whimsically, engaged in their duties according to their vana and ashrama position. Prabhupada explains in his purport. The most advanced human society was known as Arya. Arya refers to those who are advancing. So the question is, which society is advancing? Advancement does not mean creating material necessities unnecessarily, and thus wasting human energy in aggravation of so-called material comforts. Real advancement is advancement towards spiritual realization. And the community which acted towards this end was known as the Arya civilization. The intelligent men, the Brahmanas, were exemplified by Kardama Muni. The intelligent men, the Brahmanas, as exemplified by Kardama Muni, were engaged in advancing the spiritual cause. And Kshatriyas, like Emperor Swayambhuva, used to rule the country and ensure that all facilities for spiritual realization were nicely provided. It is the duty of the king to travel all over the country and see that everything is in order. Indian civilization, on the basis of the four vanas and ashramas, deteriorated because of her dependency on foreigners or those who did not follow the civilization of vanashrama. Thus the vanashrama system has now been degraded into the caste system. The institution of vanas and four ashramas is confirmed herewith to be Bhagavad Rachita, which means designated or designed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, this is also confirmed, Chatur Vanam Maya Srishtam. The word says that the institution of four varnas and four ashramas is created by me. Anything created by the Lord cannot be closed or covered. The divisions of varnas and ashramas will continue to exist, either in their original form or in a degraded form. But because they are created by the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they cannot be extinguished. They are like the sun, a creation of God, and therefore will remain, either covered by clouds or in a clear sky. The sun will continue to exist. Similarly, when the Vanashrama system becomes degraded, it appears as a hereditary caste system. But in every society, there is an intelligent class of man, a martial class, a mercantile class, and a laborer class. When they are regulated for cooperation among communities according to the Vedic principles, then there is peace and spiritual advancement. But when there is hatred and malpractice and mutual mistrust in the caste system, the whole system becomes degraded. As stated herein, it creates a deplorable state. At the present moment, the entire world is in this deplorable condition because of giving rights to so many interests. This is due to the degradation of the four castes of varnas and ashramas. The sage continued, glorifying the Manu, the Kshatriya. If you gave up all thoughts of the world situation, unrighteousness would flourish. For men who hanker only after money would be unopposed. This is basically the situation in the world today. People who hanker on the money interests are controlling the world. When people talk about advancement in society, what do they mean? They mean simply economic advancement. Spiritual advancement is okay long as it's not taken too seriously and long as it doesn't get in the way of economic advancement. So this is what happened and we read about it in the first canto, when the Brahmins lose their respect for the Kshatriyas and lose their culture, then the Kshatriyas, they lose their position and hold on the Kshatriyas, and then they lose their power. Then the Kshatriyas exploit the Vaishyas, and then the Vaishyas rise up and they take control. And then they begin to exploit the mercantile people. Once when Prabhupada was driving in a car down Fifth Avenue in New York, big, luxurious, wealthy, prosperous, all the biggest people have their offices. And Prabhupada looked and said, oh, so this is where the big shopkeepers have their places. Because it's just vaishyas, just businessmen, not caring only to make a profit. That is the purpose of life. So when these people are unopposed, the world, such miscreants will attack and the world would perish. Prabhupada explains in his purport. Because the scientific division of four varnas and four ashramas is now being extinguished, the entire world is being governed by unwanted men who have no training in religion, politics, or social order, and it is in a very deplorable condition. In the institution of four varnas and four ashramas, there are regular training principles for the different classes of men. Just as in the modern age there is a necessity for engineers, medical practitioners, and electricians, and they are properly trained in different scientific institutions, similarly, in former times, the higher social orders, namely the intelligent class, the Brahmanas, the ruling class, the Kshatriyas, and the mercantile class, the Vaishyas, were properly trained. So everyone knew what their duty was. And they were trained properly and they acted according to their position. And yatta pravita bhutanam yena savamidam tatam. That if they acted according to their duties and offered the fruits to Krishna and acted in such a way, did their duty in such a way, Krishna, please be pleased by this. I'm doing it for your pleasure. Then they would very quickly make advancement in spiritual life. But now, by unrestricted practice of occupational duties, people simply become degraded. Unrestricted vana, or occupational duties, and unrestricted ashrama, where there is no renunciation at all. Everyone just interested in joy, enjoy, enjoy, and get as much money as possible by any means. Enjoy, exploit. And the society is now chaos. Really, it's chaos. So much crime, because people are so envious. So much drug addiction. Young children, their lives ruined by addiction to drugs. Very, 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 very sad. So in spite, so Kodama Muni continues, in spite of you performing, going on tour to perform these so important duties, in spite of all this, I ask you, O valiant king, on the purpose for which you have come here, why have you come here? Whatever it may be, we shall carry it out without reservation. What do you want? Whatever it is, I will do it for you. You have come to my house. You are my guest. You are an exalted person. You have a purpose. Whatever you want, I will fulfill your desire. Prabhupada explains in the purport. When a guest comes to a friend's house, it is understood that there is some special purpose. Kardama Muni could understand that such a great king as Swayambhuva, although traveling to inspect the conditions of his kingdom, must have had some special purpose to come to his hermitage. Thus he prepared himself to fulfill the king's desire. Formerly, it was customary that the sages used to go to the kings, and the kings used to visit the sages in their hermitages. Each was glad to fulfill the other's purpose. This reciprocal relationship is called bhakti karja. There is a nice verse describing the relationship of mutual beneficial interest between the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas. Chatram vijatam. Chatram means the royal order and vijatam means the Brahminical order. The two were meant for mutual interest. They helped each other. There was no competition. Who's on top? Who's on top? They helped each other. The royal order would give protection to the Brahmanas for the cultivation of spiritual advancement in society, and the Brahmanas would give their valuable instructions to the royal order on how the state and the citizens can gradually be elevated in spiritual perfection. And they would assist each other as the arms and the head assist each other. So that's the end of this chapter. Now, Sri Maitreya Muni continues to describe Swayambhuva Manu's reply to Kardama Muni, after Kardama Muni glorified him and his duties, the importance of the position of a Kshatriya. He defined and explained the importance of it. Then, Swayambhuva Manu, this is how he responded. Maitreya described this. After describing the greatness of the emperor's manifold qualities and activities, the sage became silent, and the emperor, feeling modesty, addressed him as follows. Manu replied, "To expand himself in Vedic knowledge, Lord Brahma, the personified Vedas, from his face created you, the Brahmanas, who are full of austerity, knowledge, and mystic power, and are averse to sense gratification. For the protection of the Brahmanas, the thousand-legged supreme being created us, the Kshatriyas, from his thousand arms. Hence the Brahmanas are said to be his heart, and the Kshatriyas his arms." So Prabhupada explains the purpose of Vanashrama in this purport. Kshatriyas are specifically meant to maintain the Brahmanas, because if the Brahmanas are protected, then the head of civilization is protected. Brahmanas are supposed to be the head of the social body. If the head is clear and has not gone mad, then everything is in proper position. The Lord is described thus, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanya Taya Cha. The purport of this prayer is that the Lord specifically protects the brahmanas and the cows, and then he protects all the other members of society, Jagadhithaya. It is his will that universal welfare work depends on the protection of cows and brahmanas. Thus, Brahminical culture and cow protection are the basic principles for human civilization. Kshatriyas are especially meant to protect the brahmanas, as is the supreme will of the Lord, Go Brahmanahitaya Cha. As within the body, the heart is a very important part, so the brahmanas are also the important element of human society. The kshatriyas are more like the whole body. Even though the whole body is bigger than the heart is more important. Without the head or without the heart, there's no true life in the body. So in the social body, without the brahmanas, there's no proper direction. There's no spiritual life. So therefore the brahmanas are considered so important, and the kshatriyas also so mutually respectful. Manu continues, that is why the brahmanas and kshatriyas protect each other as well as themselves, and the Lord himself, who is both the cause and effect and is yet immutable. He protects them through each other. So this is how Krishna works. He doesn't do everything directly, but he does things through his energies or the empowered devotees like that. Prabhupada explains in his purport. The entire social structure of vana and ashrama is a cooperative system meant to uplift all to the highest platform of spiritual realization. The brahmanas are intended to be protected by the kshatriyas, and the kshatriyas are also intended to be enlightened by the brahmanas. When the brahmanas and kshatriyas cooperate nicely, the other subordinate divisions, the vaishyas or mercantile people and the sudras or laborer class, automatically flourish. The entire elaborate system of Vedic society was therefore based on the importance of brahmanas and kshatriyas. The Lord is the real protector, but he is unattached to the affairs of protection. He creates brahmanas for the protection of the kshatriyas and kshatriyas for the protection of the brahmanas. He remains aloof from all activities, therefore he is called nivikar, without activities. He has nothing to do. He is so great that he does not perform actions personally, but his energies act. The brahmanas and kshatriyas and anything that we see are different energies acting upon one another. Manu continues, now I have resolved all my doubts simply by meeting you. For your lordship has very kindly and clearly explained the duty of a king who desires to protect his subjects. Now it's going to move on. Prabhupada's purports move on somewhat beyond just vanashrama. He moves on to the brahmana, and specifically to the spiritual master, because the brahmanas are considered the spiritual master of society. Purport. Manu describes herewith the result of seeing a great saintly person. Lord Chaitanya says that one should always try to associate with saintly persons, because if one establishes a proper association with a saintly person, even for a moment, one attains all perfection. Somehow or other, if one meets a saintly person and achieves his favor, then the entire mission of one's human life is fulfilled. In our personal experience, we have actual proof of the statement of Manu. Once, we had the opportunity to meet Vishnupad Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. And on first sight, he requested this humble self to preach his message in the Western countries. There was no preparation for this, but somehow or another, he desired it. And by his grace, we are now engaged in executing his order, which has given us a transcendental occupation and has saved and liberated us from the occupation of material activities. Thus, it is an actual fact. It is actually a fact that if one meets a saintly person completely engaged in transcendental duties and achieves his favor, then one's life's mission becomes complete. What is not possible to achieve in thousands of lives can be achieved in one moment if there is an opportunity to meet a saintly person. It is therefore enjoined in Vedic literature that one should always try to associate with saintly persons and try to dissociate oneself from the common man. Because by one word of a saintly person, one can be liberated from material entanglement. A saintly person has the power, because of his spiritual advancement, to give immediate liberation to the conditioned soul. Here Manu admits that all his doubts are now over because Kodama has very kindly described the different duties of individual souls. So very sweet and wonderful purport. Manu continues. It is my good fortune that I have been able to see you, for you cannot easily be seen by persons who have not subdued the mind or controlled the senses. I am all the more fortunate to have touched with my head the blessed dust of your feet. Prabhupada's purport. And there's one more verse in purport after this that we'll read. The perfection of transcendental life can be achieved simply by touching the holy dust of the lotus feet of a holy man. In the Bhagavatam, it is said, Mahat Pada Rajabhishekam, which means to be blessed by the holy dust of the lotus feet of a Mahat, a great devotee. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Mahatmanas 2, those who are great souls are under the spell of the spiritual energy. And their symptom is that they fully engage in Krishna consciousness for the service of the Lord. Therefore, they are called Mahat. Unless one is fortunate enough to have the dust of the lotus feet of the Mahatma on one's head, there is no possibility of perfection in spiritual life. The parampara system of disciplic succession is very important as a means of spiritual success. One becomes a Mahat by the grace of his Mahat spiritual master. If one takes shelter of the lotus feet of a great soul, there is every possibility of one's also becoming a great soul. When Maharaj Rahugana asked Jadbharata about his wonderful achievement of spiritual success, he replied to the king that spiritual success is not possible simply by following the rituals of religion or simply by converting oneself into a sannyasi or offering sacrifices as recommended in the scriptures. These methods are undoubtedly helpful for spiritual realization, but the real effect is brought about by the grace of a Mahatma. In Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's 8 stanzas of prayers to the spiritual master, it is clearly stated that simply by satisfying the spiritual master, one can achieve the supreme success in life. And in spite of executing all ritualistic performances, if one cannot satisfy the spiritual master, one has no access to spiritual perfection. Here the word akritatmanam is very significant. Atma means body, soul, or mind. And akritatma means the common man, one who cannot control the senses or the mind. Because the common man is unable to control the senses and the mind, it is his duty to seek the shelter of a great soul or a great devotee of the Lord and just try to please him. That will make his life perfect. A common man cannot rise to the topmost stage of spiritual perfection simply by following the rituals and religious principles. He has to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and work under his direction faithfully and sincerely. Then he becomes perfect, without a doubt. And the final verse and purport that we'll read today. Manu continues, I have fortunately been instructed by you, and thus great favor has been bestowed upon me. I thank God that I have listened with open ears to your pure words. Prabhupada's purport. Srila Rupa Goswami has given directions in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu on how to accept a bona fide spiritual master and how to deal with him. First, the desiring candidate must find a bona fide spiritual master, and then he must very eagerly receive instructions from him and execute them. This is reciprocal service. A bona fide spiritual master or a saintly person always desires to elevate a common man who comes to him. Because everyone is under the delusion of Maya and is forgetful of his prime duty, Krishna consciousness, a saintly person always desires that everyone become a saintly person. It is the function of a saintly person to invoke Krishna consciousness in every forgetful common man. Manu said that since he was advised and instructed by Kardama Muni, he was very much favored. He considered himself lucky to receive the message by oral reception. It is especially mentioned here that one should be very inquisitive to hear with open ears from the authorized source of the bona fide spiritual master. How is one to receive? One should receive the transcendental message by oral reception. The word kana randrai means through the holes of the ears. Skip a little bit. The real fact is that a bona fide spiritual master knows the nature of a particular man and what sort of duties he can perform in Krishna consciousness. And he instructs him in that way. He instructs him through the ear. Not privately, but publicly. You are fit for such and such work in Krishna consciousness. You can act in this way. One person is advised to act in Krishna consciousness by working in the deity's room. Another is advised to act in Krishna consciousness by performing editorial work. Another is advised to do preaching work. And another is advised to carry out Krishna consciousness in the cooking department. There are different departments of activity in Krishna consciousness. And a spiritual master, knowing the particular ability of a particular man, trains him in such a way that by his tendency to act, he becomes perfect. Bhagavad Gita makes it clear that one can attain the highest perfection of spiritual life simply by offering service according to his ability, just as Arjuna served Krishna by his ability in the military art. Arjuna offered his service fully as a military man and he became perfect. Similarly, an artist can attain perfection simply by performing artistic work under the direction of the spiritual master. If one is a literary man, he can write articles and poetry for the service of the Lord under the direction of the spiritual master. One has to receive the message of the spiritual master regarding how to act in one's capacity, for the spiritual master is expert in giving such instructions. This combination, the instruction of the spiritual master and the faithful execution of the instruction by the disciple, makes the entire process perfect. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes in his explanation of the verse in Bhagavad Gita, Vyavya Satmika Buddhi, that one who wants to be certain to achieve spiritual success must take the instruction from the spiritual master as to what his particular function is. He should faithfully try to execute that particular instruction and should consider that his life and soul. The faithful execution of the instruction which he receives from the spiritual master is the only duty of a disciple, and that will bring him perfection. One should be very careful to receive the message from the spiritual master through the ears and execute it faithfully. That will make one's life successful. So very important purports by Srila Prabhupada explaining very essential, basic, foundational principles for advancement. Without the foundation, the building never rises. Okay, thank you very much. You have all patiently listened. I read a lot of purports. So we'll continue, Krishna allowing, next Wednesday. And complete this chapter 22, and if Krishna allows, even begin the next chapter. Any questions or comments?
Well, something quite wrong with the spiritual master, in fact, the instructions, etc.
That's what Prabhupada said that. Because he's talking about I'm not sure exactly. Any other questions or comments? Certainly doesn't mean that you can't privately tell a devotee something. Even Srila Prabhupada received, wasn't like a public proclamation, but his Guru Maharaj told him that if you get money, if you ever get money, print books. That was more or less private. If I could take the marble from the temples and it is my desire to print some books. If you ever get money, print books. I'm not sure exactly what Prabhupada meant. Certain trends, yeah. I don't know if that's the reason though, but I think it means, maybe it could also mean that it's not just he tells them through the heart, he tells them. But I'm not exactly sure. Any other questions? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Manu Kadama Muni ki jai.